You know, since Children's Church has started this last couple of months, I've always taken the material that I have taught you or given to you, the messages that I've shared with you on Sunday, the first service, I usually bring it down a couple of notches for them. But this time, I have taken their message and I've brought it up to our level. So I switched things around a little bit today. Before I start that, I want to share a story. And all of you will know this individual, Robert Todd Lincoln. He lived under the extensive shadow of his father, whom we know is Abraham Lincoln, who was the 16th president of the United States. You know, long after his father's death, Robert's identity was engulfed by his father's overwhelming presence. Because how do you forget someone like Abraham Lincoln, right? I mean, look what he accomplished, you know, in his office. Robert Todd Lincoln's closest friend, which was Nicholas Murray Butler, wrote that Abraham Lincoln's son, would often say, "No one wanted me for Secretary of War, they wanted Abraham Lincoln's son." Or he'd say, "No one wanted me for Minister of England, they wanted Abraham Lincoln's son." And then lastly, "No one wanted me for president of the Pullman Company, they wanted Abraham Lincoln's son." Now, we hear sometimes, you know, on social media and stuff about this son, this daughter. You know, here's an example. Cher, Sonny and Cher Bono. We hear about their children a lot. How about Kirk Douglas, Michael Douglas? Now, I'm sure that when Michael Douglas started his career, he's Kirk Douglas's son. So, you know, for a while, they were in the shadows, like it says here, under the extensive shadow of their father or their mother, okay? So, we've all, in some way, in some season in our life, have experienced that maybe to a degree. Maybe not with a parent, but maybe we've experienced, like with Robert Todd Lincoln, what does he say? He says, "No one wanted me to be Minister of England because they wanted Abraham Lincoln's son." Well, we know that his son had some of his father's traits because he went into political career. We know that he had some of his father's desires to do what he set out to do. But I'm sure that he experienced that he was in the shadows of what his father accomplished. And I'm sure that in some ways that affected him emotionally. You know, he felt maybe not so much like an outcast, but that maybe he wasn't as significant. You know, that he couldn't make his own mark in life, okay? So I say all that to say that I'm sure that in some seasons of our lives, we've probably looked back at our past and said, you know, I felt like an outcast then, or I felt like I was insignificant, or I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like I didn't fit in. Do you think that maybe Robert Todd Lincoln maybe kind of felt like, in some respects, because he was overshadowed by his father's, you know, previous career, that maybe he too felt like he didn't fit in some respects? So, this frustration doesn't just deal with those that are famous people and their children. We all, again, like I said, are familiar with this. Yet, nowhere in the depths of our value, is it more evident than when God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. That's evidence enough for us to realize how valuable we are to the Heavenly Father. Amen? The Apostle Paul recognized us for who we were in our sin. He talks about it. And he says, you know, and then he talks about, well, he points out that we are sinners. But then he also points out the fact that when we come to Christ, you know, that we are important. He writes, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's out of Romans chapter 5. Now, this is where, when I started, you know, putting the message together for Children's Church, the word diversity came to mind. Diversity, what is that? It's a the definition of diversity is another word for variety, or such as a group of people who are different, who are different. And so when we think of our own little world, and all the people around us, we look the same, we talk the same, we do the same things. Now, when my daughter and I go down to Tennessee, we love hearing them go, y'all, y'all. We like hearing that. But, you know, and they do some other things different. Instead of saying oil, they say oh. I can't even say it the way they say it. But it just you know, so many hundred miles away already, there's a difference that's going on in our United States. Now, I have a question for you, and I would like you to throw out some figures here. Here's the first question. How many countries are there in this world? How many countries? Anybody have any ideas? It's over 100. 195 countries, okay? Next question. How many languages are there in the world? 6,500 languages. Over 6,500 languages. So we know that that's quite a diversity, right? There's a lot of differences there. So what's this got to do with our Bible? What's that got to do with it? Well, who created all those different people? Who created all those different languages? Another question. Who are we going to bump into when we go to heaven? It's going to be just more than Americans there, right? So when I confront the kids today, I'm going to say, do you think God would put us all in different sections like we are kind of on the earth? Is he going to do that in heaven like he does like it is done here? Well, it says in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 10, it says, and this is the Message translation. Mary's got me hooked on the Message translation. I looked again, I saw a huge crowd, too huge to count. Everyone was there, all nations and tribes, all races and languages. And they were standing, dressed in white robes, waving palm branches, standing before the throne and the Lamb, in a hearty singing, salvation to our Lord on his throne, salvation to the Lamb. So we're all going to be together. All of these nations, all of these countries, all of these languages, we will all be together. So heaven is going to, which we already know, heaven is going to be an awesome place, but it's definitely going to be filled with what? Variety. Diversity. All kinds of people from all different kinds of backgrounds. And even though we are all made to be different, we will live in harmony. God will not play favorites, hallelujah. And because he loves each and every one of us, no one will dominate. No one will dominate, and we'll all get along just like we're supposed to get along here on earth. Now, I listen, of course you know this, to WBGL, it's a Christian radio station, and there's a group that's called King and Country, and they have a song that's called Relate. One of the verses, which when I heard this, I go, there's a message right there. There's a message right there. This verse says this. We're all the same in different kinds of ways. We're all the same in different kinds of ways. Think about that. I thought, man, that isn't a message. Or if I was to title it that, that would be one of my titles. As lengthy as it is, we're all the same but different kinds of ways. Or I would title this message, Different Together in Jesus. I'm going to share another story this morning. A business analyst, Francis Evans, once studied 125 insurance salesmen to find what made them successful. Are you ready for this? Surprisingly, competence wasn't the key factor. Here it is. Instead, Evans found customers were more likely to buy from a salesman with the same politics, with the same education, or believe it or not, the same height. Would you go to figure that one, the same heist as them? Scholars call this homophily. Homophily is having the tendency to prefer people like yourself. Homophily is at work in every area of our lives. And here's an example of that. When we pick our mate, when we find a husband or a wife, we usually find somebody that has the same likes and dislikes that we do most of the time. Or our friends. We pick our friends that like to go to the same movies we like to go to, or like to, you know, the same sports that we like, or go to the same different places. Our spouses, they like to travel maybe, or they don't like to travel. They're home buddies, or they like to live on the farm. They like to, you know, be farm people. But the thing is this. As natural as homophily is, it can be destructive when left unchecked. And we all know all about that. Because over the decades, over the centuries, this country has dealt with racism and politics and economic lines. But I want to share this. We know that it went back, this homophily issue has gone back as far as the first century, because the Jews stuck with the Jews. The Gentiles stuck with the Gentiles, and the rich certainly did not mingle with the poor. So I want to point something out, though. In Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 16, Paul describes the church, the new church, the church of Jesus Christ. This is what he says. The church in Rome has included Priscilla and Aquila. Now, they were Jewish, okay? Now here's Epaphras, who was Greek. He was Greek. And then Phoebe, who was a benefactor of many, which means that he was probably a very, very wealthy man. Okay? And then last, Philologus, I'll say it right. That name, or that common, was common for slaves. So think about that. You've got the Jews, the Gentiles, the Greeks, you've got, you know, rich, you've got poor, you've got slave. But what brought these people together that were so different from each other? What brought them together? It was Jesus, in whom we know, as Scripture says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, out of Galatians chapter 3. And we know it's natural. We know it's a natural thing for us to go to church, to be in a church that we're familiar with, people like us. But Jesus pushes us, desires us to go beyond that into a world that's fractured on these various lines of racism or politics or economics. He's making us a people who are different together. Different together. How many times do you hear those two words together? Different together. He wants us to unite in Him as one family. God loves us because of whose we are, not who we are, but He even loves us in our worst of moments. Paul wrote, God demonstrates His love, His own love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died on the cross for us. And again, as I said earlier, God values us so much that He sent His Son Jesus. So when we question how valuable we really are, think about what Christ did and took our place. And you say, well, why bring this message up at this time? Well, again, this is for children's church. And these kids are going back to school. And some of these kids, in fact, I'm not going to say names, but I had one of our children say that they're getting bullied. They're getting bullied because of who they are, where they live, or what they look like. They're being bullied. They're being peer pressured to try to fit in, to not be themselves. And yes, maybe they are different in some respects, but God makes us different. We're not to be the same. Another title I might use is Embracing Our Differences. For an example, in the late fall, football players, these teams, they thrive on having actually remained healthy through their season of football playing. And each team player embraces what their unique talent is and what they can contribute to the game. In other words, you're not going to see a defensive lineman try to be a quarterback, and you're not going to see a running back want to be a punter. They know their place. They know that where they fit in best. Can you imagine a team, you know, that they all want to play the, you know, the quarterback? Okay? Instead of each player making a contribution in the talent that they're in. But when they do it with the talent that they're given, it makes the team stronger and more successful. In 1 Corinthians 12:14, Paul reminds us in these verses today that the body of Christ ought to function as a team. That even though there are many diverse people in our family, in this family of God, we are to function as one to make it possible for other believers to become a part of the body of Christ. Now, if you're a non-believer, if you don't believe in God and every one of us are all the same, it's going to look pretty boring to somebody that wants to come and join the family of God because we all look the same, wear the same, talk the same, do the same. And they're like, well, do I have to fit into what you say or what you look like or how you do it? No, God makes us all different in the body of Christ, just like those that are still in the world. Paul makes a good point that even though we have these different personalities, gifts within our church, we are all one body, and he begins by addressing this body of believers who may feel like they've been neglected or excluded. Here's a good example. The foot does not get the same recognition as the hand, and therefore maybe feel like it's an outcast. Okay? Here's a good one. Similarly, the ear doesn't get the same acknowledgement as the eye and may feel forgotten. How many of us have experienced somebody come up to you and say, you've got the most prettiest eyes I've ever seen? I mean, they just sparkle. They just speak life. But you've never heard anybody say, oh, you've got the most gorgeous ears. I mean, you've got I've never seen such gorgeous ears before. Now, I cover my ears up because I have one that's actually a little lower than the other. And it's not as noticeable but when I've got my earrings on, you can notice it. And I have the Smith trait where they stick out a little bit, and to me, I feel like they're big. But my ears do have a purpose to help me hear. So even though I might not care for them, they have a purpose, and I appreciate the gift that God's given me in having those ears. Paul wants Christians who feel overlooked or neglected, or feel like they're an outcast, to know that they are indeed essential in the part in having a part in the body of Christ. Diversity is in the church, and it's important. The body could not function if we were all an eye, or if we were all an ear, or if we were all a foot, or if we were all a hand. And just like our physical bodies are made with that intricate details that God has made us to be, perfect in His image, the body of believers, we're still different, but yet we're the same. God has made each person special and unique for a specific purpose, for a specific role. Each person in the family of God has a gift, but that gift is not only to help the body survive, but to thrive. We have to understand that we have something to offer in the body of Christ. And Bill and I were talking about that this morning. Maybe your gift isn't so much something that maybe I've pointed out. Maybe it's a gift that God's put on your heart. And He'll give it, you know, He'll give you the time and the place for it. And if it's not so much doing something in here, but it's an outreach from here to do something for someone else, then that's what God's called you to do. None of us want you to focus on something that we think you should be doing, because it gets your eyes off of what God has called you to do. Now, I wasn't going to share this, but this morning as I was going through my devotionals, I ran across a true story of this man and his wife. They were having breakfast at this restaurant. And across the aisle from them was this older man, and he's 92 years old. They heard him talking to the waiter. And the waiter comes up and he's going to wait on him. But the 92-year-old man says, I cannot hear, I forgot my hearing aids. I left them at home. The waiter, who was a man, got down in front of him, into his face, eye to eye, and he went through the menu with him. And this man, you know, visited with him for quite a long time. Now, this waiter, I mean, they're busy. But he stopped his whole thing, his job, and he totally focused eye level with this 92-year-old man. And then to top it all off, not only did he take care of this man in his order, it was shortly after that, it was the waiter's time to take a break. And instead of taking his break in the back room or go finding another table, he went back to this 92-year-old man and he had his break with him. For 15 minutes, he sat with this man. And the awesome thing about it was this, that all the people that were around this situation that was going on, everyone that was sitting there, that were eating breakfast there, was aware of what this young man, this waiter, was doing. It was ministering to all these other people. They were literally arguing about who wanted to pay the bill. All these people that were sitting around, everyone offered to pay this 92-year-old man's bill. Because it made a difference, not just for that 92-year-old man, but all those other people that were around them. Think about it. Yes, we are blessed. We have a wonderful area, La Salle, Peru, Princeton, and I mean, Geneseo. We have many places where we can go to restaurants, and we have good waiters and good waitresses. And there are many that will do that, but they are so busy. And yet, this man stopped his world to minister in the way that that touched this man's life, that made a difference for this man of 92 years old. And that's what I'm talking about. We can be the same in so many ways, but yet be different. Take that time to be different and make a difference in others' lives. God, again, views the worth of our part as in the body of Christ. And even though it's different, that's what God's intention is, for it to be different. We need to consider looking at our value, but not only our own. But like this waiter, we also need to see the value in that 92-year-old man. So as we leave today, not that I'm done here, but as we leave today and we have this opportunity to go to the restaurants and have breakfast or lunch, let's look around, intentionally look around and say good morning, even if we don't go and, you know, but just stop and how are you today? Did you enjoy your breakfast? Or, oh, good to see you here today. Take that time. Be different. Don't just pass them by. Make a difference. We are made to be different and not divided. That's out of Ephesians. And it says, have you ever wished that you had a parent or a child or maybe a spouse or a co-worker, a friend who maybe saw things the way you did? Or maybe you hope that they understood your point of view on a circumstance. Sometimes, because of that, there is a conflict because they don't. They don't agree with your viewpoint. They don't understand where you might be coming from. But can you imagine if God made us all the same? It would be pretty boring, wouldn't it? We are individuals with every one of us having a unique taste of different things. But we have to see those unique tastes, those unique things about us, even my ears. I have to see them as a gift. We have to see that what God has given us are blessings for us to use to touch and make a difference in others' lives. He did not, praise God, make us a bunch of robots without preference or free will. God made each of us in His image. And if He's made us in His image, it's a perfect precision by God. Our skills, our talents, our abilities, our gifts, are from our Heavenly Father. Every bit of our bodies, from the shape of our nose to the length of our ears to the color of our skin, was designed with tender, loving care. Do you hear that? That we were made with tender, loving care before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time. And we are meant to be different. And we are all to be called to be united. That's the tough part. We're different, but yet God has called us to be united. The thing is, I love the way Paul puts it. The Apostle Paul, he says, live a life worth of your calling. Well, your calling, my calling, is different than Caroline's. Caroline's calling is different than mine. I love when she shares about her sister who has this ministry. It's amazing. How different is that ministry compared to Bruce's or Glenn's or Cheryl's? Every one of us, none of our talents are identically the same. God doesn't want us to ignore what makes us special, what makes us different. We are not to try to be like everyone else. And that's the other thing, the reason I want to share this message with the children today. We are to be different. We are to strive to be different, but yet united. And yet not to be like, you know, peer pressure and be pressured into being somebody that you're not. God doesn't want us to ignore what makes us different or to try to be like everyone else. What unites us, listen to this, if you take nothing else today, the thing that should unite us as believers is this, that we share one belief in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is greater than any dispute or any differences that we are going to face on this earth. And besides, we're not going to deal with this in eternity. We're not going to deal with these things in eternity. Some believers prefer to worship with their band or with a band. Some desire to worship singing in a choir. Some believers just desire to do it the way we do it every single Sunday here as a church family. There are some who like to come to church with a suit on, and there's some of us who want to just throw on a pair of jeans. There are some of us who are Democrats and some of us who are Republicans. But again, we cannot debate these things all day long. But they won't matter. Because they won't matter in eternity. What will last forever is our relationship with Christ Jesus and our relationship with others. To live in unity requires what? For us to keep an eternal perspective. Eternal perspective and focus on the main thing being the main thing. And what is that? We all know, the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel to save, to be set free from our sins, and to give a future and a hope to those who are lost. To let them experience a hope and a peace that we have. Unity is not always easy, but it is worth the effort when Christians take their eyes off of their disagreements or their differences. Jesus' message is to declare more clearly when we focus on what we're to do, and that is to share the gospel. With that, we're going to go ahead and close in prayer this morning. Lord, help us to see things the way you do. Your word says that there is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And Father, we pray that you speak to our hearts so that we can remember that no one is better than anyone else because of our appearance or any other earthly aspects or virtues, Lord. We pray that we respect and that we embrace that we are all one in Christ and that we are all the same in different kinds of ways and that we are all different together in Jesus. Amen.